man after God's heart, man, woman, a child after God's own heart. I trust that is our desire, that is our longing, to be a people after God's heart. And we read those, heard those scriptures read in 1 Samuel, and some of you have been here for the first few sermons where we considered David's life and David's heart after God. And I want to continue on that theme this morning. And we read in Acts 13 that when Israel asked for a king, God gave them Saul, the son of Kish. But after he was removed, and this is the history in 1 Samuel, after he's removed, God raises up for them David as king. And to whom God gives this testimony and says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. And from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Saviour, Jesus. As we continue on this thought, let's ask God's help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We come under your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak by your Spirit and impart knowledge to us, Lord. Impart wisdom, as only your Spirit can do through your word. Lord, we are just men, women, and children. We're just mortals, but you, our Lord, are the living God. And you've given your Spirit in our heart. You've given us the Spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father, to you, Lord. And we cry that this morning, that you would impart to us some of your heart, your desire, that your desires, Lord God, would be our desires, that your longings, those pure and high, would be our longings. Oh, give us a heart after you. Make us a people after your own heart, as David was, as indeed, Lord, we come and we meditate on your word now. Change our heart, O God. Make it ever true, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the background to this, some weeks ago now, we considered David's repentance. We considered that David had a merciful heart. He was a humble man. He was a servant of others. He was a sensitive man. He had a sensitive conscience toward God. David was also a worshipper. And he was a man that we continue to read about and continue to apply many life lessons. I know I do personally. He was one that ran before the Lord Jesus. I have found David, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. And from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Saviour, Jesus. And I want to be clear that we're here and we're worshipping our one true God, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. But we come and we see those who have ran before us, those who have come before us in Scripture, and such as those as David. Saul was brought low and David was lifted up. Saul was brought low and David was lifted up. Now, I want to consider one thing about David, and perhaps this is my first point. David was a man, though, who was free from guile or deceit. In the old King James, guile is used, the word guile. Now, a definition of guile, let me give you a few definitions. Guile, sly or cunning intelligence. Cunning, craftiness, craft. Artfulness, art, artifice. Wiliness, slyness, deviousness, shrewdness. Canniness, ingenuity. Wiles, ploys, schemes, stratagems, maneuvers, tricks, ruses, deception, deceit, duplicity, and so on and so forth. The list goes on. The meaning of guile, it's an old King James word. In the Psalm 32, David says these words, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Turn the book of Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile or deceit. In whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, he writes, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. But I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David's repentance goes hand in hand with the fact that David was a man who wanted to keep short accounts with God. He didn't want to play the outward man. And yes, we know the very, very famous and very open sin that David committed. He was brought to account for that, in that he brought Uriah's death about, in that he sinned with Bathsheba, and that sin was known to all of Israel. And yet David is still called a man after God's heart. David is a man who kept short accounts with God. And from that turning point, a great turning point in his life, he writes these psalms. He writes these words. For day and night, God's hand was heavy upon him until he brought his sin before God. So guile is a duplicity, is a deceit, is a deception. It's like that bowl that our pastor held up. It's like that bowl that the Lord Jesus so criticized the hypocrites for having. They had those outside clean bowls, and they looked like a whitewashed tomb, but inside they were full of dead men's bones and full of duplicity. And if we want to be people who are after God's heart, we have to be right with God. We have to be right with God. We have to have a heart free from duplicity. We have to be not double-minded, but single-minded people. We should not hide our sin from the Lord God. We should get real with God. As in today's terms, we could say, get real with God. Be real with Him, and He'll be real with you. And that's the account of David. The account of David, he paid dearly for the consequence of his sin, and yet he makes right. He makes right with God. You know, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're to be people of God, who are like that outside, that the inside would be so clean, that we would come before our God and keep short accounts with Him, so that we could have a heart that's purified and a heart that is freed from guile, freed from duplicity, freed from deceit. Spurgeon's Treasury of David makes this good commentary about this psalm, and I just got a little snippet to read of that. Talking about the spirit where there's no guile. He who is pardoned has in every case been taught to deal honestly with himself, with his sin and with his God. Forgiveness is no sham, and the peace which it brings is not caused by playing tricks with one's conscience. Self-deception and hypocrisy bring no blessedness. They may drug the soul into hell with pleasant dreams, but into the heaven of true peace they cannot conduct their victim. Free from guilt, free from guile, those who are justified from fault are sanctified from falsehood. A liar is not a forgiven soul. Treachery, double dealing, chicanery, dissimulation, are lineaments of the devil's children. But he who is washed from sin is truthful, is honest, is simple, and is childlike. I like that description. He who is washed from his sin is truthful, is honest, is simple, and is childlike. Does that sound like the Spirit of God? Does that sound like the Lord Jesus? Does that sound like the one who was bound to that tree and then nailed to that tree in our place? Oh, that we would love truth. That in our spirit, in ourselves, we have been justified from fault. Shouldn't we be sanctified from falsehood? Shouldn't our outward life and our inward life be just the same? Shouldn't we walk and be real with God and be real with one another? God will bless that. God will bless that. God will not bless self-deception. He will not bless hypocrisy. But God will bless those washed from their sin, who live in truth, who are honest, who are real about their sin, who are real with God and keep a short account with Him, who are simple and childlike, who are truthful before God. I want to be like that. I want to be a man after God's heart. I want my heart to be free from guile, free from duplicity, free from double-mindedness. I trust that's your heart. If we look just another psalm forward, Psalm 32, we looked at our psalm 34, the Lord God, through His Word, instructs us this way. And He says, "Come, you children, and listen to me." Psalm 34, verse 11. We should be childlike. We are God's children. We should be truthful and honest with Him. "Come and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life? Who is the one who loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit or guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And we've been taught here in this church, in this fellowship, about having our hearts and our tongues pure before the Lord. Every man, we should speak the truth with our neighbor. In the Lord Jesus, there was no deceit found. Neither was there any guile found in his mouth, the Bible says in 1 Peter. There was no deceit found in his mouth. And if we want to see many days and see good, we should keep our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking guile or deceit. And so we should watch what we say. We should watch how we conduct ourselves. The Lord Jesus is that ultimate example for us this morning. To consider Him who was nailed to the tree, and in His lips there was found no deceit. In 1 Peter, if we look in 1 Peter, we have that account of our Lord Jesus. There was no falsehood found in Him. There was purity. There was radiance. There was no duplicity. And for this we're also called, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving for us an example that to follow in His steps." It's talking about an element of suffering. And it says in verse 22, "He," the Lord Jesus, "He committed no sin, and nor was deceit," or that word guile, "nor was deceit found in his mouth. And who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." If we want to be a people after God's own heart, our mouths, our tongue should be free from duplicity. We should not say one thing and act another way. We should not promise things that we cannot keep. We should not make promises that we cannot uphold. And so be real with God, and God will be real with you. And that's a testimony of David's life. When he got real with God, God became very real to him. If God's not very real to you in a daily basis, if God is not real to you, perhaps you're not being real with God. That's a challenge. That's what is thrown down to us. And that is a testimony that David had to go through and suffer in his life because of his sin. But if we are real with God, and I trust that's our heart's desire, God will be real to us. He'll be very real to us. "Let every man speak the truth with his neighbor." Ephesians also teaches us, I believe this was read out some time ago by a pastor, Ephesians 4 and verse 20. And it talks about that life, not just the tongue, because the tongue shows forth what's in the heart. But our life should reflect the character of the Lord Jesus. Because from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But our heart and our life and our conduct should not be as the world's. And that's what Paul teaches us in Ephesians 4:20. "You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." You see, Jesus is the truth. And if we want to be those after his heart, after God's heart, we're to walk in truth and to speak truth and put off concerning our former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of our minds, verse 23, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, to have a new mind and a new heart, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We're to put off the old conduct and put on the new. And then Paul says in verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbors, for we are members of one another. And can I add to that, not just speak truth with our neighbor, but live the truth. We are to live the truth. We are to proclaim the truth with our lips. We're to speak it forth, but we are to live the truth. We are to live the truth with our neighbor, with the nearest one around us. No guile. Live the truth. How is our example? At home, with wife, with husband, with children. How are we when no one sees us? What is our conduct like amongst our friends, amongst our workmates? Do we live the truth and do we speak the truth in love? And is that our desire to do so? Is it our desire to do so? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit or guile. A man after God's heart, a woman or child after God's heart will desire to be free from guile, to be free from duplicity, because our heart is set on evil. And we are to, by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, come to our Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him, as we sung that song, Lord, change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O Lord. May I be like You. We desperately need to get real with God. We need to be a people after God's heart. We need to be a people who are real with God. May it be your heart's cry, as it is my heart's cry, that I not live in hypocrisy, but that I be real with God and be real with my neighbor. A man after God's heart, and this is probably our second point, a man after God's heart must know God in His Word. And this is perhaps a very obvious one to us all. But if a person will want to follow God, he must be in God's Word and must experience God on a regular basis. Now the hypocrites, the ones who were full of dead men's bones, they knew the Scriptures very well. And from the outside, they appeared to be as clean and as whitewashed as tombs. But inside, we know they were full of dead men's bones. So, just knowing Scripture and memorizing Scripture is not enough. But the heart change is what God requires. And that's so important. It's so important to learn Scripture and to know Scripture. And at a mental level, and to memorize Scripture. But unless the heart changes, there's no fruit from that. There is no fruit from that. How many in older generations went to Sunday school and were taught Scripture and even memorized Scripture, but their hearts never turned to God? We need to join the two together, the Word of God and a heart after God. Now, when David spoke, he was one who knew God. And you can just read that straight away. You can perceive the Scripture is left for us as an account that David knew the Word of the Lord. But he knew the Lord of the Word. He knew the Lord of the Word. He knew God and he walked with God. When he spoke of the Lord, he spoke as one who knew Him. And we need to know this Word. We need to experience God in His Word. We need to experience the transforming power of the Word. Not just the memorization, not just the going over the Scripture, which is so important that we do that. That we go and have a systematic approach to reading the Word. But in our time, where we come one-on-one with God, in the study, where we might be, in our quiet time, do our hearts burn within us? That's the test. Do our hearts burn within us when we come to this Word? Does it produce change and transformation in the heart, in the desire? Because when the Bible talks about the heart after God, it's the seat of your affection, of your emotion, of your will, of your desire, of your drive. It's your longing. Is your heart transformed? The hypocrites, they could recite to you, the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, they could recite to you so much. But their hearts, the Bible says, and Jesus condemned them for this. They honor me with their lips, but their heart, and you know the scripture, is far from me. It didn't avail. It didn't help them. Because there was duplicity. There was double-mindedness. There was that guile, that deceitful heart, which wasn't converted to God. And because of that, when they came to the Word, it did not produce change. And when we come to the Scriptures, when we come to the Word of the Lord, we must know the Lord of the Word. And David knew the Lord of the Word. And he experienced the change and the power of God. Do our hearts burn within us when we come to God? When you read the Scripture, don't read it as the hypocrites read it, who are always looking at a way to condemn others, to find the guilt or the fault with others. Remember, the Lord God rebuked them for that. But when we come to the Scripture, do we first see our need? Do we see that we're the sinner Christ came to save? When we read the Scripture, do we see that it applies all of it to us? All of it. And when we come to this Word, we should not come away unchanged. We must have a longing after God's Word, after His heart. It might seem very obvious that a man after God, a woman or a child after God's heart must be in the Word of God, but we cannot understate this enough. Because we live in a day and we live in a generation where few read the Word of God. In our day, few people read the Word of God and few Christians read it systematically and come to God and are changed by it in a real way. There are many who leave this book upon the shelf, but see how David loved God's law. See how David loved God's Word. He came to this Word and he drank and he ate. He supped and he communed with the living God. And friends, if we are to be those after God's heart, we must daily come and eat from this and take this as our daily bread and long for it and long for those rivers of living water to come forth from us. And to come through us. Because not only did David drink from it, but he also gave out. He gave out, didn't he, to others. And we need to be like that spring. That we are able not only to be fed and to be satisfied by the Word, but to give it out. To go forth and to give it out. He declared God's Word and he declared his love of God's Word and of God's law. I have this wonderful hymn that I looked up, which isn't in our hymn book, but it's written by William Bradbury. And it's called How I Love Thy Law, O Lord. I'm not sure if anyone knows this hymn. I'll read it out. How I love thy law, O Lord, daily joy its truths afford. In its constant light I go, wise to conquer every foe. Thy commandments in my heart truest wisdom can impart. To my eyes thy precepts show wisdom more than sages know. While my heart thy word obeys, I am kept from evil ways. From thy law with thee to guide, I have never turned aside. Sweeter are thy words to me than all other good can be. Safe I walk, thy truth my light, hating falsehood, loving right. Thought that very appropriate to some of those scriptures that we were just reading. Hating falsehood, loving right. While my heart thy word obeys, I am kept from evil ways. How we ought to be those who come to the Word of God and teach others the Word of God. It's very interesting that as soon as David repented in Psalm 51, he stated amazing thing in that he says, I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. He's in the midst of repentance. He's just committed adultery. He has just murdered. And in that cleansing and in that process, how does he have the right to say such a thing? But indeed he does. For the one who is transformed, the one who is washed, the one who has experienced God at work in his life and is real with God can teach others, can teach transgressors the word of God and see sinners converted to God. You know, we are to teach those around us the word of God. We're to teach our children, our grandchildren, those in our families, those in our sphere of influence, the word of God by the things we speak, by the conduct, by the life we live. I wonder what opportunities we have, and each of us will have an opportunity at some level, whether it's to a child, to a peer at your level, to someone older than you. Have you taken this to heart? Do you study the word of God? Do you long to have the word dwelling richly in you? And then do you go out and speak it in your sphere of influence? Your sphere of influence. You may not have an opportunity to start a Bible study in your workplace or to hold prayer meetings in your work. There's not that opportunity everywhere we go. There may not be opportunity for you in your place of study, but in your home, with your friends, with a neighbor, where is that opportunity that you can speak the word of life to? There will be opportunity, but you have to have the word of God in your heart. And this is the key fact. You have to have a longing for the word of God. And if you have a longing for the word of God, and if you spend time in God's word, it will naturally flow from you. And you will be able to see others drawn to the living God. Oh, I pray we would have a heart after God. We are to command our children. Remember, in Deuteronomy chapters 6 and chapters 11, we have those scriptures which talk about diligently speaking to our children and talking of the word of God when you sit in our houses, while we walk by the way, when we lie down and when we rise up. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, "You shall teach them those precepts, the word of God to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." So in other words, this should be a very natural thing. This should be something that comes and flows from a heart which is transformed. That it would come from the heart which is transformed, which is longing for God and His Word. And this was a commandment that we should do these things and that we should be diligent with those things and to command our children after the way of the Lord. And so we will have opportunity. People don't read the Bible these days. People don't read the Word. The average person does not read the Word of God. But we can be that living Word. We can be, as we speak the truth to others, we can speak and we know that the word is near us. It's in our mouth. Romans 10:8. And what does it say? It's in your heart. The word is near unto you. It's nigh unto you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And I pray it would flow from that heart. A heart that is free from guile, free from duplicity, and a heart that is filled with the word of God. David was a man who was a worshipper, but David was a man who was also joyous. That's my final point this morning. He was a man who was filled with joy. The joy of the Lord. It wasn't the joy in this, the circumstance of life. Because we know David had a very rough life. He had a very rough family life. Because of his sin and because of that transgression, the sword didn't depart from his household. We know his own sons tried to kill him. We know there was much anguish that he faced. But David was a man, whilst he paid dearly for his sin, yet he rejoiced in the Lord his God. He rejoiced. The joy of the Lord was his strength. The Lord was the rock of his salvation. And so, in addition to being those people free from guile and duplicity, and being real with God and being real with one another, being real with others, And in addition to those who are filled with God's word in our hearts, we should be those who are joyous in the Lord. We should be those not weighed down by the things of this earth, not allowing the weeds and the cares of this earth to choke that good seed and that good word in us. You know, we truly have, as was prayed today, all that we need. As Glenn prayed, we have our daily bread. We are clothed this morning. And we are to be those living in this world, thankful before God with what we have, but above all else being joyous in our salvation. I have trusted in your mercy, the psalmist says, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Psalm 13:5. I have trusted in your mercy and my heart, this is it, my heart, my life, my inner man, the innermost part of me is rejoicing in your salvation. And Psalm 35:9, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. The problem is that so much in our lives is around us to distract us. So much is there to divide our hearts from what is most important, from having a central, undivided heart to God. There is so much around us to distract us that we forget. Or we don't live as those who are joyful in their Lord, who are joyful, who are rejoicing in their Lord, in their God. That come what may, we rejoice in the Lord. We have not heaped to ourselves treasures on this earth. We have not relied on the things in this world to satisfy as other men, as a Gentile seek after, the Bible says. But our joy is in salvation. Our joy is in our Lord. We will rejoice in your salvation. Psalm 20 and verse 5. We'll rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we'll set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. We'll rejoice, O Lord, in your salvation. Can men in your workplace, women and children, in the study, in your university, in your school, in your daily life, see the joy of the Lord in you? Can they see you with a countenance that is radiant and thankful? Not having a critical or complaining spirit, but having a rejoicing spirit. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. You know, we need to be constantly engrossed in our Lord, so that when we go out, when we mingle and interact with others, they can see there's something different about us. You know, there's a man in my workplace who has recently been transformed by the power of God. And every lunch hour when 12 o'clock comes, he gets his Bible and goes to a certain room that he's booked every single day. And he spends half an hour there in prayer and in meditation to his God. Every single day, he cannot wait till 12 o'clock comes. And he takes his Bible, and there he goes. And his countenance, when he comes back, his countenance is joyous. He's been in the presence of God. And it affects others around in the team and in the workplace because he has been with Jesus. Others take note because he has been with Jesus. And the more we are a people after God's heart, the more we're freed from guile, the more we're filled with the word of God, and the more we rejoice in our salvation, we will see around us men, women impacted. Men, women and children will see and take note that you have been with God. I pray we will be those who have a heart after God. I selected this hymn, O Happy Day. And in this hymn, there's a very clear line which speaks about, bow with me in prayer, how I love thy law, O Lord. Daily joys its truths afford. In its constant light I go, wise to conquer every foe. thy commandments in my heart. Truest wisdom can impart. To my eyes thy precepts show wisdom more than sages know. While my heart thy word obeys, I am kept from evil ways. From thy law with thee to guide, I have never turned aside. Sweeter are thy words to me than all other good can be. Safe I walk, thy truth my light, hating falsehood, loving right. O Lord, we come to you, and Lord, we look into your word. And God, I pray, purify my heart. Lord, wash me, that I may be whiter than snow. Give me, Lord, desires that you have. Give me the longings of your very heart, that I may not turn to the left or to the right from following after you, that my household may not turn, Lord, to the left or to the right from following after you. Lord Jesus, it is our prayer today that our hearts would be transformed, that our hearts, Lord Jesus, would not be divided but be set on you. Lord, help us to have a heart that is freed from guile, freed from duplicity. Lord, help us to have hearts filled with your word, the knowledge of your word, but the experience of you and your word. Lord, teach us and give us the joy in our hearts of your salvation, that we may not be able to contain it, Lord, but that we would shine it forth and shine it abroad. Lord, change my poor heart, Lord, and make it all thine own. Yes, Lord, this is my prayer. I pray you part your people this morning with a blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.